This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All The Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-BONE at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-BONE.
Looking for a new way to grow your business? With TikTok for Business, anything is possible. If you've ever thought about advertising on TikTok, now's the time to do it. You can drive more customers to your website, sell products right in the app, and you can even use TikTok's creative tools to easily make content and find creators to help sell your products for you. Find new customers today. Just open your browser, type in getstarted.tiktok.com/tiktokads, and grow your business fast.
Let's go! Yeah!
You're listening to the best of the Patriots.
Oh, yeah!
A weekly mix of WEEI's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
Thank the good Lord for bringing us out here today, and let's get away for win.
Stephon Diggs continues his big night. 100 yards, more than he's had in the last three games combined.
It's a great team we played, and just glad we got it done this week.
May taking a deep shot. Downfield, towards Williams. He brought it in. That's a touchdown. That is Kyle Williams.
I saw the ball, man. I knew the opportunity was for us. And so.
Chase down, knocked out. Patriots recover. It was Caleb on Chase on.
See ball, get ball, and that's the play we made.
Stevenson with a block by Williams.
But I'm just happy to be around these group of guys, being able with a young quarterback that's MVP talent, MVP guy.
May got all the time wasted and the first down, shuts it down before a touchdown.
It's just a blessing to be out here. I'm thankful to be out here, be healthy, and just be around the boys for real, friend. Get a win on the road. Roll Warriors.
And it is game over.
The MVP chance at M&T Bank Stadium, not for Lamar Jackson. Well, they couldn't be because he left the game in the second quarter with a back boo-boo, continuing his tough season. But your New England Patriots, despite the doubts of everybody on this show not named Dan Ball, Patriots win 28-24. You get yourself a comeback. You get yourself a marquee MVP moment. And before we get to anything else, Fitzy, I feel like I do owe the floor to one Dan Ball. So before we get underway on WEEI Afternoons, Dan Ball, as the lone person who picked the Patriots.
Good afternoon, Andy.
What would you like to say?
Well, look, I've been told by you for a long time that genius walks alone. I was also then told on Friday that idiots walk alone. And I'm not going to lie, as the Ravens scored back-to-back touchdowns and the Patriots defense struggled to contain Snoop Huntley, I was worried, but there's just a little bit of extra dog in the fight of this year's Patriots group that I'm not sure anybody thought they had coming from the back half of the Bills game into kind of the middle part of this game that we saw on Sunday. I'm fired up. The broken clock was right in getting the score right as well as the team. And fellas, I hope you all learned a lesson that it's time to back this year's Patriots team.
Fitzy, this year's Patriots team, a week ago we were questioning it because they felt on their face in the second half against the Bills and watched the reigning MVP do the Superman thing to beat them. And then this week we watched them do the Superman thing with Drake May, not his best game in the first three quarters, some turnovers, some questionable accuracy and plays, but with the game on the line, he made the plays and you heard it. The MVP chants were there. And now everything is in front of them. Everything is possible. They clinch a playoff spot. They're still focused on that division. The number one seed is in play because the Broncos lose to the Jags. It's all in front of us, Nick Fitzy Stevens.
It has fool's gold written all over it.
You will shut your mouth.
It has fool's gold written all over none of it now, Cameron Jarrell, because Drake May, in the face of the adversity that he himself brought upon the team and his young second-year season, answered the call last night. Yeah, he got beat by the guy that he wants to supplant as the king of the North in Josh Allen last week, or the king of the East. Whatever, it's still the North to me. And then he goes down 11 points in the fourth quarter. 0-13 prior to yesterday in terms of fourth quarter comebacks as an NFL starting quarterback. And just when it looked like Snoop Huntley, the discount Lamar, was going to find a way to send Pats fans home disappointed with a bucket of nothing under the tree, Drake says, hold my natty bow, and orchestrates a damn near Brady-like Super Bowl 49 fourth quarter-esque finale himself. 12 of 14, a buck 39, a touchdown, two spectacular drives, and the composure, and now you have to imagine confidence, that comes with finding a way to get the job done when the moment almost seemed too big for him. That right there, to me, was the final regular season test for Drake May in his sophomore season. And after flunking out last week, he passed with shining colors in Baltimore.
207 says we should just let Dan host today. Well, it's too late for that, but you know what I am going to do? I'm a guy. I will let Dan Ball host tomorrow. Because he picked the Patriots to win, Dan Ball can not only host tomorrow, he can host many of the shows over the next 2 weeks if he wants. That's how generous a guy I am. I'm going to give him the big chair tomorrow and most of the days over the next 2 weeks. So Dan Ball will get his druthers. We're going to get to some of the critiques because I didn't expect this. I thought we would be doing some real, you know, Victory Monday kind of ish here on WEEI Afternoons. And it's a Patriots Monday, so we'll talk to Marcus Jones, who had a key fumble recovery. And we will, that'll be at 3:30. And we will indeed talk to the quarterback of the Patriots, Drake May, in his MVP candidacy, will join us at some point over the next 4 hours, hopefully sooner rather than later. But Fitzy, we started talking about that, and all of a sudden guys are like, you're going to kill Vrabel for the fake punt? You're going to the defense? Like, there's all these like negative tweets, texts came in, and I'm like, whoa. We can get to the nitpicking, because there was a lot of nits to pick in this
game.
Who
said the game was perfect?
Nobody. But they, like, why would we start with the negativity?
Oh, come on. Let's do it. Come on. That's what you guys do, Patriots media cartel. Friggin' negative Boston sports. I swear, if we came in and came after Vrabel and Jeremy Springer and Marte Mapu and the run defense and Gonzo early, and Drake May, actually, quite honestly, for his bad pick on the first drive and his fumble later in the game, it'd be easy. That's low-hanging fruit if we want to start that way, if that's what everyone wants. I can't imagine that's what people want, especially given the vibes right now throughout Pats Nation and considering that it's 3 days till Christmas. I mean, my God, aren't we supposed to be celebrating all the good things we have at this point?
And that would also mean I think we would have to do a redo of last Monday's show. Because last Monday's show, we started with the disappointment of the fourth quarter and Drake couldn't get a drive and the receivers couldn't get open and you couldn't stop Josh Allen. But if this is the way we do it and we sort of pick and choose and don't necessarily go by the scoreboard to start the show, then that last week we should go back and start with the positive. Well, they built a 24-7 lead. They were awesome in the first half. Like, I mean, come on. We finish with the scoreboard. We start where the score ended. And the score ended with your Patriots winning, your Patriots moving into a tie with the Broncos for the best record in the AFC, your Patriots clinching a playoff spot, your Patriots getting back in the number one seed conversation. Like, that's where we're going to finish when Drake May has 380 yards and when Drake May is sliding to run the clock out at the end of the game and Ramondre Stevenson is scoring a touchdown that, did anybody think at the time, we didn't get to this last night, Fitzy, did you think Ramondre scored too quickly? That maybe he should have gone down at like the one-yard line and kill clock before you punch that in? Because that was my worry right up until Chaisson knocks the ball out of Zay Flowers and we were cut. And it's like, okay, no, it all works out. Nice
job,
boys.
I didn't think he needed to pull like an Ahmad Bradshaw or something and like try to sit down on the goal or pull a Todd Gurley and go down at the two and give the team a chance to run some more clock. No, I thought you get a chance to score there. You bulldoze your way into that end zone. And then you tell that defense, hey, you guys, we did our part. We came back from the two-score deficit you set up for us. Now go out there and finish the job. Show everybody that coffee is for closers and earn yourself a nice warm cup for the flight home.
And Drake May had a game for the ages, even though I didn't necessarily know it at the time. We knew he had his first 300-yard passing performance. We knew he made the plays in the clutch to get his comeback victory. But did you know this, Fitzy, that Drake May in Baltimore had 30-plus completions, 70-plus percent completion percentage, 300 passing yards, 25 rushing yards, and a 10-point comeback in the fourth quarter, joining the list of, well, himself as the only person in the history of the NFL to have a game like that. These stat lines are getting out of control.
There's a new one every week.
Yes, it's kind of crazy because I thought Drake played well down the stretch. I don't think Drake would say that was his best game. I think when we talk to him, he'll probably acknowledge some of the missed throws, the turnovers, the fumble where he kind of was a little loose with the football, kind of holding it out for him to get punched out. But that's where we are. Drake May gets his name back in the MVP conversation. And the Patriots, I feel like over the final quarter of that game, changed the entire perception of them. I think we'll hear from Mr. Fool's Gold himself a little bit later, talking about how he feels about the Patriots, because I think the same question we asked last Monday, Fitzy, is appropriate this Monday. How are you feeling about your New England Patriots? Last Monday, it was like, are you shook? Are you shaken? Are you concerned that they're not as good as their record says they are? A week later, how are you feeling about your New England Patriots? Do you think they are a Super Bowl contender? Is there anyone you wouldn't pick them to beat in the AFC? 617-779-7937. We're going to get to your phone calls early and often today. So, Fitzy, how do you feel about your New England Patriots after that performance last night?
They belong in the Super Bowl conversation with each and every other team, any other fan, any other analyst, any other host, anybody who likes NFL football wants to include in that conversation. You want to say it's the Philadelphia Eagles and the Chicago Bears, the Los Angeles Rams, the Jacksonville Jaguars, Duval, the Broncos maybe even. Okay. They all belong in the Super Bowl, like Super Bowl champion conversation now. Not just Super Bowl participant, Super Bowl champion conversation. There is no one single team better clearly than any other team in the NFL right now. None. Seahawks? Okay, fine. Lump them in there too. Also, this is all coming off of a weekend where somehow there were three games of the year in the same weekend. Some people thought it was Packers-Bears. It began Thursday night with the Rams at Seahawks. It culminates in the Patriots' epic comeback in Baltimore against the Ravens. Spectacular. They absolutely belong in the conversation conference-wide and league-wide.
So we're going to get to the turnovers. We're going to get to the crappy run defense. We're going to get to the injuries. The texters want it, so at some point we'll get to some of the negative aspects of this game. But beyond Drake May, we got to get to some of the positive aspects of this game. How about your wide receiver, Stephon Diggs? Fitzy, you think they're managing his incentives anymore? Because that seemed like a hell of a football game by the number one receiver in New England.
Oh, man, somebody must have gone rogue because I was told that Stephon Diggs wasn't getting the minutes that he needed on field, nor was he getting the reps because he wasn't supposed to be making his incentives. What happened? Was someone in the Christmas spirit last night in the front office?
Just write him a check.
Yeah, just go ahead. Just give him his extra 500. I do think he actually picked up an extra half mil last night. And good on him because he was a badass. He was a dog last night. He was a leader. You want to talk about the definition of a primetime player? That's Steph Diggs. His two biggest games, his two best games in a Patriots uniform this year, each of them on a Sunday night, each of them road wins, each of them with nine catches, Mrs. Bueller, nine.
And that is the biggest takeaway for me, in that I think the last 2 weeks you played essentially playoff football games, right? That was a tough spot last night in Baltimore against a desperate Ravens team. Now, I didn't know desperation would turn into stupidity because, hey, Jim Harbaugh, where's your best player? Oh, he's hurt. Where's your second best player? Oh, he's standing right next to me. Why? You want to talk to him? Because he's not playing right now, so he's free to do interviews because I'm not going to use him for the final 7 minutes of football. That's one of the worst coaching decisions I've ever seen. He's running right down the Patriots' throat on the previous drive.
He just scored. He absolutely bulldozed them on that drive. So why are you switching to Keaton Mitchell now?
Jim Harbaugh is one of the most over... John, too. They both are. One of the most overrated coaches in the history of the world.
John's way more overrated.
That's because Jim has turned into a 90-year-old grandmother. With those glasses and the way he talks post-game, he has turned into an old woman. He reminds
everywhere,
me of Bernie Hart.
Okay, fine, but everywhere he goes, he wins. And year two Harbaugh, I said it before, I still predicted the Chargers would win the West. They have an outside shot now that the Broncos got absolutely kicked in the teeth by the Jaguars a mile high in the sky yesterday as well.
But with the Ravens stars either injured or sidelined themselves, the Patriots stars stood up. And you guys know I'm a believer, stars win in the postseason in all sports. And your quarterback and your number one receiver in a playoff atmosphere were awesome with the game on the line. And that, to me, is a reason to say, of course they can win in January. Of course they can host whoever, host Houston, and win in January. Of course they can go to Denver. Because if Drake May is going to throw like that to Steph Diggs with the game on the line, that's championship caliber stuff. That's guys stepping up, stars stepping up in the moment. And that was on full display in what I thought was a playoff environment last night.
Yeah. How many, just real quick, for all the 207s, 413s, 401s, et cetera, that are texting in negative
area
thoughts or begging.
Codes.
Yeah, all the area codes that want us to be more critical of the Patriots and some of those god-awful plays from Sunday night in Baltimore. Quick question. How many road games have the Pats lost this season?
Carry the zero, move the zero. Zero.
Yeah, none.
Yeah.
None. Zero. Nada. Zilch. They are road warriors. Why would anybody possibly think? I don't care where they've been. I don't care who they beat and at what time of the day they beat them or where it was. They have been nothing short of awesome on the road overall, because all that matters, like you said, is the score that we celebrate and then later on debate here on the radio. The final score, Patriots had more points than their opponent for the seventh consecutive time this season. So everyone else, tuck it and shove it.
617-779-7937. As I said, we want to work your opinions in. How you feeling about your Patriots? What'd you think of that game last night? Are you fixating on the negative, the fact that Lamar wasn't out there with the game on the line, or Harbaugh didn't play Henry? Or are you going to fixate on the positive that your stars stood up and your star quarterback took it to the next level when he needed to? Let's start things off in Rhode Island with Tom. What's up, Tom?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Thanks for taking the call. I've been listening for a while. Big time fan, so thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Just want to say, Fitzy, listening on Friday, Patriots Friday, you said you wanted Drake May to have a comeback in the fourth quarter to lament his MVP status. Well, looks like Santa delivered early for you. Got that. Was really happy to see that. Again, you guys, all the talk last week about Diggs kind of being underused. It was good to see him have a another nice primetime game, so he's Mr. Primetime. Just wanted to say that. And one last thing, Drake May is him, boys. Drake May is him. Super Bowl, we're coming for you. Thanks.
Thanks for the call, Tom.
See, Andy, last night, if you were a Pats fan and you went into the game with a checklist of things that you would want to see, it would obviously begin with a win, but then it would also include Steph Diggs getting back to his featured role as number one receiver, emotional core, carrying the offense when they need him most. And then it would be Drake May facing the adversity of coming off defeat against the Bills, letting his team and his own self down, and then being able to come back in the face of a double-digit deficit in the fourth quarter, something he's never done as a pro. All those boxes got checked last night. Like, Guys, if you don't just wake up and hit the nog early on Christmas Day because you already got all your gifts, I don't even know if you know how to holiday, Pats people.
And it wasn't just May. It wasn't just Diggs. Like, those are your stars, and they'll get the statistical attention for 380 passing. What?
I know which name you're going to mention next.
Well, there's a lot of them, but I got to tell you, I thought, you know, the two forced fumbles on defense were huge. Now, I think you thought I was going to go Mac Hollins because I think he was phenomenal.
Yes. He was awesome. He's a dude, man. He's a stud.
He's a guy I didn't want, and now I can't see this team without him. And that is a tremendous performance by him. 7 of 9. 9 targets, 7 catches, 69 yards. He was the go-to guy early when they're moving up and down the field. But defensively, you get the hit slash punch out from Carlton Davis and Hawkins on Derrick Henry early on when it looked like the Ravens might literally run away with it. Might just run the ball down your throat all night long, pick you apart, and roll to victory.
2.5 minutes to score that first touchdown.
It was way too easy. It was hot knife through butter. But then you get that turnover that kind of saves you from that early deficit that maybe you don't dig out of. And then the forced fumble later, chasing down Zay Flowers, who is showing a little bit of a knack for bad fumbles at bad times in key games for his football team. But our guy Marcus Jones recovers that fumble. So the defense wasn't good. I'm not going to defend the defense and saying you were good. The run defense was not good. You looked like you were down up front because you were down up front without Milton Williams, without Tonga, without Spillane and others. But you made the play. Like, you finally got a little bit of that bend but don't break or opportunistic defense that we've talked about. Special teams, we'll get to, because it was truly special, and I don't mean that in the good kind of way. We had one of those. I'm sure that fake punt looked good on the practice field and maybe even the whiteboard when you drew it up. But
or the virtual headset that someone, Mapu, wore when he practiced it last week at the stadium.
I'll tell you, in reality, it didn't look great, but we'll get to all of that stuff. This was just I've heard different words, gritty, gutsy, bounce back, like all the ways to describe this win. I know Vrabel told the team, make sure you pack your identity. And it's interesting as they're developing that identity. Can they come back? Can they be resilient? They did all of that. And that was the other thing, Fitzy. You know me. I start with the E word, entertainment. That was as entertaining a football game as we can ask for. It wasn't always good. If you liked the 07 Patriots that just went up like 21-0 and then dominated and rolled to like a 38-3 win, that was not last night. But if you liked edge of your seat, back and forth, and I'll turn it over, you turn it over, that type of football game, hard to find a better game than that last night.
And I also want to push back on the, oh, well, you know, they won without Lamar, so again, it doesn't count. Patriots, they get to coast. Patriots, you know, soft schedule, the puppy poo schedule, fool's gold. If I'm not mistaken, the Ravens had 10 points at the half, and then in the third quarter, the Ravens went on not one but two touchdown drives thanks to Snoop Huntley and Derrick Henry. So they had 24 points at the start of the fourth quarter. Like, they were cruising. Their offense looked fully functional to me. It was only through their own idiocy and terrible play calling, thanks to the accounting firm of Monken and Harbaugh Incorporated, that they decided to start doing things differently, which let the Pats right back into the game, straight through the door and into their end zone.
And it's so funny how that shoe can jump sidelines from one coach to another. Hey, McDaniels, how come you stopped running the ball? How come you do this? Hey, Monken, how come you stopped running the ball? Why is your not best player not in? Oh, you're drawing it up nicely. You're in your feels. You're spinning the dial. Those play callers, those offensive coordinators, you know, that can change quickly, whether you're the good one or the bad one in any given game, any given half. And that happened last night. But in the end, Patriots get the 28-24 victory. Key two-point conversion in there for Vrabel as they're coming back, which actually at the end makes it so the Ravens need a touchdown, not a field goal. There was a lot of back and forth, some game management, some time management, the old long kneel down where you back up 5 yards to kill a little clock to get the clock in your favor. 617-779-7937, breaking down a massive win for your New England Patriots on the road Sunday Night Football in Baltimore. MVP chance for Drake May that he earned with his fourth quarter performance. Reminder, we'll talk to Drake May later in the show, 3:30. We'll talk to Marcus Jones, all that and more up next here on WEEI Afternoons. But first, Dan Ball, give me what's trending.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Ah, DSW, birthplace of the humble brag. Here, the shoes are so good, no one would ever know how little you paid. If you didn't go telling everyone, that is. And with never-ending options for every style, mood, and occasion, all at really great prices, we'll definitely give you something to brag about. So go ahead, stock up on fresh sneakers from your favorite brands. Or try those boots you always secretly knew you could pull off. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
All right, Boomer Esiason is brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery, as well as expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. By Shaw's and Star Market, go shopping, get rewarded. By Town Fair Tire for the best prices on tires. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody. And by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Boomer, good morning.
Courtney, so much better to talk to you than Greg. And by the way, that was had to be the longest intro in radio history.
Yeah, you know
and
what?
And by the way, good morning on a Victory Tuesday, I might add.
Oh, well, it is still Monday.
Oh, it is Monday.
It is Monday, yeah.
Sort of Sunday night football,
I know,
holiday
is very confusing. And let me tell you right off the bat, Wiggy wearing your Victory Monday Under Armour sweatshirt.
How does he look in it?
He looks pretty good. He's in the red one. Looks very, very nice.
Nice. I'm glad.
Shout out to you, Boomer, for hooking it up, baby.
Finally, I was gonna
I was gonna wear the blue one, but I said, you know what? It's Christmas time. I'll drop on that red one. So shout out to Boomer for the Victory Monday.
Smart.
I love it. You know, three teams this week. What a week it was, right, guys? Week 16. There were teams that were down 10 or more points in the fourth quarter, and it was amazing. The Seahawks defeated the Rams. The Bears defeated the Packers, and of course, your Patriots defeated the Ravens last night. Largest fourth quarter comeback since the Super Bowl versus Atlanta when they were down 11. We can all remember that, right?
Yes, we can. And I was going to bring up Drake. The stat line really good at the end of the game, and the comeback even better. But overall, what would be your grade for him?
I'd give him definitely a B plus. Winning on the road in Baltimore, not easy. And I know he had two early turnovers, but man, just having the poise to hang in there. You know, not every game's going to be pretty. The great Phil Sims used to tell me all the time, it's not a game of perfection. And certainly last night wasn't the perfect game. But the more important message I think that was sent is that, number one, they came back from the Bills loss, which is good. And number two, the amount of guys that were injured last night and the other amount of guys that had to step up and have an impact in this game was significant, and that's always a good sign.
Yeah, I was going to say, any of those flubs early, you can chalk up to the O-line being banged up and the injuries that the Pats face right now.
Yeah, I mean, it all goes part and parcel. The one thing that really concerns me about the New England Patriots right now as we sit here is just the run defense. And, you know, that's always the backbone of a defense, stopping the opposing team, especially in cold weather games, late in the season, playoff games. The Patriots have always had a knack when they were good, when Bill Belichick and Tom Brady were there, Mike Vrabel was playing, coming up with that key turnover at the key time. That's one of the things that happened last night. So seeing some of those attributes reappear now all of a sudden shows you that this is a team that can handle getting behind against a good team and also a team that can come up with a huge turnover at the right time.
Boomer, you actually talk about the running game. Listen, I'm a Pats fan, so, you know, seeing them win is always a great thing. I don't get why they take Derrick Henry out of the game up 11 and are not running him if you're the Baltimore Ravens. Was there something that I was missing there that maybe you saw?
I don't know if he was banged up or not, Jermaine. He's such a physical runner. The other aspect of it, too, is they may not trust him. I know that they were talking about it last night incessantly on the broadcast about how he had to carry this team, and it looked like for a while he was going to. But, I mean, to entrust Tyler Huntley over Derrick Henry when you don't have to, that to me is a huge mistake on offense, assuming that Derrick Henry was healthy.
Boomer, first time in the history of the Patriots that they have won 12 games in a season without Tom Brady as their quarterback. And Chris Collinsworth at the end of the game was heaping the praise on Drake May, saying that there's only one other guy that's done this for the Patriots in his second year. What have you seen from Drake May, and what about his performance this year has impressed you the most?
Well, you know, he's right up there with the MVP voting, that's for sure. I think he might have dropped a little bit. I think Matthew Stafford is probably a little bit ahead of him right now with Matthew Stafford's staggering numbers. But, you know, I just think it's the poise. And I go all the way back to when we started this year and we talked about how I thought they were going to make the playoffs simply because I thought their schedule, you know, was a little bit easier than most of the teams. But as the season wore on, Drake May got better and better and better. And I think that's what Chris is kind of alluding to. And when you see the poise, you see his athleticism, and, you know, he doesn't want to run first. He wants to throw first. And he gets back there, and maybe the most important hire other than Mike Vrabel was Josh McDaniels. And that pairing has created this offense. And this offense is, for the most part, been balanced throughout the year. It was a little heavy pass last night just because they got behind. But he is clearly the leader. He has clearly arrived. The light has gone on. He sees everything. He reacts to everything properly. And I don't see an ounce of nervousness in him. And to say that about a second-year player is pretty significant.
And that's this week's Drake Take from Boomer Esiason, presented by your New England Chevy dealers. Together, let's drive. Steph Diggs has had an awesome game yesterday as well. Boomer, we were kind of sold that Steph was past his prime. He was a problem in the locker room. He was a problem with coaches and teammates. What has changed here in New England that you can see that's brought him back to life?
You know, Courtney, I'm so glad you asked me that, because last night I'm watching this game, and I, too, wondered about the signing of Steph Diggs at the beginning of the year, especially coming off of a knee injury. This guy could still play at a really high level, really high level. And, you know, this reminds me of the Steph Diggs that we saw in Buffalo, when he was at the top of his game with Josh Allen. I mean, he makes incredible catches. He's still very quick. He's still a great route runner, and he is as competitive as they are as a wide receiver. He may be a little bit different personality from day to day. That's one thing you got to deal with. But for the most part, when things are going well, he still looks really, really good. So that signing has turned out to be aces for the New England Patriots, along with a lot of other signings that they had in the offseason, as we remember that they were the team that spent the most money in free agency this year.
Boomer, when you look at the two games left in the season for the Patriots and you start to look at the AFC and kind of how it's shaken up, if I asked you, what's your power rankings in the AFC, how would you go, especially based off of yesterday, seeing what Jacksonville was able to do and go up to Denver? Kind of how would you line up this AFC in power rankings?
Well, you know, it's interesting. I always I want to start with quarterback-coach tandems. And I have to say, there are three right there at the top, and it's going to be Vrabel and May. It's going to be Harbaugh, and it's going to be Herbert, and Liam Cohen now all of a sudden with Trevor Lawrence. Those teams look pretty damn good, as do Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers. But I still say defense is what wins. And what was a little bit shocking yesterday was Denver's defense getting shredded by Trevor Lawrence and the Jaguars. The other defense that goes under the radar and had a huge game yesterday was the L.A. Chargers. You know, they held that Dallas Cowboy offense to 17 points and shut them out in the second half. So, there's a lot of reasons why that number one seed is going to be so important to play your games at home. And coming down here at the end and seeing that, you know, who they got? They got the Jets and they got the Dolphins, and they're both away. Now, these are teams that they should win. And if you would have told me before the season that they were going to end up with this record, I would have said you were crazy. Now, I would have thought maybe 11 wins, but this is quite the season that the Patriots have going on. That's why that number one seed is going to be really, really key for them.
Boomer, we did it for 20 years, Tom or Bill. If you had to say today who is most responsible for the turnaround, would you give it to Drake or to Mike Vrabel?
Well, I give it to Vrabel first and foremost. You got to have a head coach that people respect and that can command a room and can talk to players both offensively and defensively. I see he's very aware of when a player's hurt, he's out on the field. When a player does a good play, you know, he's, you know, slapping fives when they're coming off the field. Even when the defense got steamrolled there at one point by Derrick Henry and gave up a touchdown, you know, he's on the sideline and he's trying to talk to his defense and he's trying to pump him up. So first and foremost, you got to have that guy. His next hire was Josh McDaniels. That's the next important guy. And then comes the quarterback, because the quarterback has to be in a really stable situation. And right now, I would say this is about as stable a situation as there is in the NFL when it comes from, you know, the front office to the coach to the quarterback. And that's one of the reasons why they won this many games this year thus far.
Boomer, you obviously are plugged in when it comes to Cincinnati, and you're plugged in the AFC when you start to look at some things. Just kind of give your take on, where do you see the Cincinnati Bengals, you know, moving forward? It seems like Joe Burrow, you know, can be a little, he's a little bit disappointed in maybe how the organization's doing things. Where do you see them, and where do you see the Kansas City Chiefs? I ultimately think that maybe it might be time to move on from Andy Reid. What's your take on those two teams that have been kind of dominant in the AFC for the past couple of years and the direction they're heading in?
Yeah, Andy Reid basically said that he's coming back next year regardless. Mm-hmm. So, you know, even no matter what we think, he's a lifer. He's Bill Belichick, just wearing red and a little bit more of it. But I will say that he's not going anywhere. You know, as far as Joe Burrow is concerned, you know, if they beat Buffalo 2 weeks ago, we're not having a therapy session on Wednesday. And then, you know, then they get smoked by the Ravens in a game in which he didn't show up, and he even said it was his worst game as a pro. And then yesterday he comes back and throws four touchdown passes. So I'm sure he'll feel a lot better this week, and he'll have a lot more fun playing football and spending all that money. So, you know, I don't think he's going anywhere. The Bengals are not going to trade him. You know, he's their franchise. The Bengals have always treated us as starting quarterbacks really, really well. They've paid us usually at the highest levels of the NFL. When I played for them, believe it or not, twice I was the highest paid player in the league for about 6 months. So they have always taken care of their quarterbacks. This doesn't seem like a Carson Palmer situation to me. Mm-hmm. I know he's great. I know people are out there fantasizing that the Jets or the Giants would trade all these number one picks for him. My sense is that he's not going anywhere. Maybe the coach could be, and maybe they would hire his college offensive coordinator, Joe Brady, who's the offensive coordinator for the Bills now. That may be a possibility, but he's not going anywhere.
Boomer, have you ever seen an ending of a game quite like that Steelers-Lions game yesterday?
You know, the moment that there's offensive pass interference, essentially the game is over. Mm. Unless there's a defensive penalty where you'd have offsetting penalties and then you'd run the play over again. But the moment there's offensive interference, the game's over. So there's no question that Amon-Ra St. Brown committed that penalty. It was exciting to watch, but I will say, like I was just saying, we had a number of games. Like, I thought the Seattle game was insane. Yeah. You know, with the loose ball as opposed to the fumble, and then New York getting involved and essentially awarding the two-point play to the Seattle Seahawks. So, I mean, this weekend had just about everything, and hopefully the next 2 weeks follow suit.
Well, let's get to the question of the week for Boomer, presented by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating oil delivery and expert HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. Speaking of the Steelers, they make it 22 consecutive seasons over 500, but it's still another season with fans, national media calling for Tomlin's job. Did he save it once again? Like, what's the deal here?
Yeah, I don't know why national media doesn't like Mike Tomlin. I know the Pittsburgh Steelers fans are frustrated because they're like Yankee fans. You know, they think they should win every World Series or every Super Bowl, and all they get is winning football, and sometimes, you know, they don't go far enough. But the problem with them has been they haven't been able to replace Ben Roethlisberger, and they keep trying to do it like a lot of other teams do it with stopgap quarterbacks, and just so happens they're lucky to have a future Hall of Famer in Aaron Rodgers. The question is, can they go through one of these teams on the road in the playoffs? They may win their first home playoff game, depending on who that, you know, that fifth seed is going to be. But after that, if they got to go on the road, I think they're going to be hard pressed to go, you know, deeper than one game, unless injuries happen, which they always do to teams. But I think it's a great story for Mike Tomlin and Aaron Rodgers to make the playoffs, which I think they will. But I don't necessarily know that they can go as deep as, you know, maybe one game and then lose in the divisional.
All right. Well, Boomer, Merry Christmas. I hope you have a great holiday. Your family continued to grow this year with the twins. So I hope you have quality time with them sometime this week.
Man, this holiday shopping's getting expensive. It is crazy.
I bet.
We love the gifts, Puma.
Yeah,
though.
Right. The heated massage back thing, unbelievable.
Well, yeah. Well, look at this. This year, I get pats on the back for the gifts. Right.
Yes,
nice. Wiggy's your biggest kid.
And I love it. It's fighting it away from my two boys, though. That's the hottest problem, is because they love it just as much as I do.
Well, listen, I love you guys, man. I love working with you guys. And, man, hopefully you have a deep run in the playoffs and look forward to it come the new year. Happy New Year, guys, and I'll see you on the other side, all right?
Thanks, Boomer.
Jones and Keefe, weekdays 10 to 2.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Shime, I know we have to get to trending, but I want you to have the opportunity to respond to Who Dat Main in Twitch. Hey, Shime, you know nothing windbag. Do you hear Boomer? Credit to Josh McDaniels.
Okay. Okay. Good for. Did Josh McDaniels throw that deep ball that Drake May threw last night?
I'm just saying. Okay. I just want to give you.
But he
a good
did
time.
Call that play though.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Fair. That's fair. You know what? Wiggy. Fair point. Fair point. But even you criticize the.
Yeah, there
the
are plays. Yes, there are some. Listen,
three.
There are some plays that I criticize.
It's his favorite play. Yeah. And that's my biggest thing is sometimes I just very much disagree with a lot of the calls. But also, for a guy who knows nothing, St. Thicholas
Diamond Season at Springer's Jewelers in downtown Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The best selection and pricing in New England, and don't forget, tax-free. Their team will help you purchase the right diamond. Visit springersjewelers.com. The Pats, they're headed to the playoffs. They clinched a spot as they took down the Ravens in Sunday Night Football, coming back from being down 11 early in the fourth. The Drake May led Patriots were able to make that comeback with 15 unanswered points for a 28-24 victory. Speaking of Drake, he completed 31 of 44 passes for 380 yards, two touchdowns, and an interception in the win. And it's time for the stat of the week. It's brought to you by Gillette, and this was Drake's first 300-plus game. He did it under the bright lights, and let me give you another stat. Last night was the first Pats win after trailing 11-plus in the fourth quarter since Super Bowl 51.
What happened in that one?
L.I.
Super Bowl. No, I'm saying happened to the Patriots won. Beat the Falcons 28-3.
Yeah, that's right.
I was being, I wasn't actually, I was just like, what happened in that game? How'd that one turn out?
Your tone was off there.
Sorry.
I usually can read you well. That one, I couldn't.
Like a book. One last thing. Yeah. Can we go for a hat trick? We have those two stats.
Yes.
My favorite stat, 12. First time without 12 that you have gotten 12 wins in the history of your franchise, which is absolutely incredible because I think they've been around a bit.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's impressive.
Gillette's Best Shave is now the best a fan can get. Get it while you can at Gillette.com/NFL. And after a week of what's wrong with Steph Diggs, he had 9 receptions for 138 yards. Lamar Jackson did exit this game before the half with a back injury. John Harbaugh said after the game that he has no idea how long Jackson will be out, if at all. It is a Patriots Monday. We'll be joined by Mike Vrabel this morning at 9. Some Red Sox news. Craig Breslow got himself a solid right-handed hitting veteran first baseman in Wilson Contreras and cash in a trade with the Cardinals last night. So the Red Sox doing nothing.
Well, it's actually worse than nothing. This is them prioritizing a deal once again, trading with their old buddy Chaim Bloom.
Because you had a first baseman out there who went to Baltimore that everybody, I think you had two first basemen out there and Kyle Schwarber. And
you missed out on Murakami too, who went to the White Sox.
Yeah, so it's like, you know, unless they do something shocking, like get, what's the boy out of Detroit? Scooble.
Yeah.
Unless they do something absolutely shocking like that, I think fans are going to be like, this is the Scoober. It's a massive swing and a miss.
Yeah. Well, the Bruins fell to the Senators yesterday 6-2 at the TD Garden, and the Celtics are at the Garden tonight. They welcome the Pacers to town. Tip is set for 7:30. Jalen Brown listed as questionable in this one.
Scoober is one of my all-time favorite drops.
Scoober.
It's pretty good. That is
the Scoober.
That is what's trending. We will get to the news next. Well, good morning, New England, and happy Christmas week. It's Courtney Cox driving the show this morning, in for Greg. Greg, early break for him, well-deserved. But we've got Curtis, we've got Wiggy, we've got Shime, and we've got real-life Tom in the building. So we're going to have an excellent show for you. Patriots win, a come-from-behind win in the fourth quarter. An absolutely amazing comeback for Drake May. Wiggy, were you nervous at all during this one? Because I certainly was.
I really wasn't.
What?
I wasn't. I was.
You were very quiet on the group message. I didn't notice that.
No, I mean, you know, I sometimes I just kind of get into the game. I was, you know, my boys are back in town. I really, like, wasn't at all, because I felt confident that they could move the ball up and down the field, the Patriots, on them. And I felt like they were, especially once Lamar got hurt, I felt like, all right, they're going to have an opportunity to get some stops here. So, yeah, I wasn't nervous at all.
I thought when the Ravens were up 7 and they were driving in the first quarter, mm-hmm. I was like, well, maybe be early to bed tonight. Might actually get 5 hours sleep. But the forced fumble to me was the game changer. And even withstanding going down 11 points in the fourth, but, like, it felt early on like this was going to be just one of those games. The Patriots defense is so mm-hmm. beat up. It was Baltimore had this, you know, huge, they had to win, and the Patriots went into sort of a buzzsaw on Sunday night, and this team is better than even I think we thought they were.
Well, 28-24 was the final, and Wiggy brings up Lamar Jackson's injury. He went out with a back injury. Mm-hmm. They're not sure how long this is going to sideline him, if it's going to sideline him at all post this mm-hmm. one half of a game. But him walking to the locker room right before the half, he looked pissed.
Yeah.
So he looked like he was in pain. I watched the slow-mo of what could have happened there.
He got a knee right to the back.
But so what do you think that is? Like, just...
I mean, I don't know exactly, like, we know what it is, the knee.
Tom, knee shime in the back.
Yeah. So we know, like, he was grimacing and he was in serious pain, so it's probably one of those things that he couldn't really do much. They were saying he couldn't really turn and that kind of thing. You saw it on the replay that,
yeah.
I forget who it was. But, yeah, and like I said, I think that they were going to come back? Yeah, I felt good, but I wasn't nervous like that the game was going to get out of hand and they weren't going to have an opportunity to come back in this game. Even when they went down 11, I felt like, all right, they'll make a run and they'll have an opportunity to win the game. Did I feel like, all right, they could lose this game? Sure. But I didn't feel like they weren't going to have an opportunity.
If it's okay with you guys,
yeah.
I just plan on just absolutely stomping on the dumb head of Greg Bedard a lot today. And it was one of the more shocking things because on my YouTube algorithm, there's all the post-game reaction. We're all trying to catch up on the hot takes, what mm-hmm. the biggest takeaway is, what's the pulse of the Patriots beat after a huge win. And he went on across the street, and he's talking at length about basically taking credit for Steph Diggs, that, like, he was a new guy out there. I don't know what happened. Like, Greg Bedard... There are a lot of bad reporters, and Ben Volen is king of the bad reporters. But Greg Bedard may be the worst analyst of any sport in Boston in my lifetime. He's never had an original thought. He takes things and makes them out to be massive, when in reality they are largely either incorrect or irrelevant. Well, Steph Diggs yesterday
incredible.
Was running the right routes,
yeah.
knew the offense, and the team was incredibly successful when he was on the field.
And it was a perfect depiction of Steph Diggs yesterday. Whenever we ask Vrabel about mm-hmm. Steph Diggs, he speaks on and on about his personality, the way he plays the game, the way he handles the game. But when he got hurt, when he got banged up in the was it the first quarter or second quarter? It was earlier on in the game.
It was first quarter, right after
yeah.
his first
yeah,
catch.
First yeah, first quarter. And he was just pointing at his shoulder. He's like, it's not my head, it's
right,
my
right,
shoulder.
Right.
But he's smiling, walking. He's telling all of them. The reports were that they had to restrain him
yeah.
in the tent because he wanted to get out. He ended up sneaking out the back way of mm-hmm. the tent. There's a back door, I guess, that nobody knew about. It just, like, to me, he heard those reports. He doesn't care about those reports. I think the main issue that I have when it comes to beat reporters or any reporters out there is the ego that they have, that they think that they are changing the game in some capacity or changing the way players are handling the game. They're not. Steph right. Diggs, you need to give him credit and you need to move on.
Yeah, I mean, he was. We talked about it last week. every week the go-to guy for the most part changes in the offense.
Yeah.
I mean, when you see it, like Matt Collins made some great catches in last night's game, right? It changes throughout the game. It changes week to week. You know, Steph Diggs has done a tremendous job of all year long, but this offense isn't like, all right, it runs through Steph Diggs. Mm-hmm. This offense isn't, it runs through Matt Collins or it runs through Kayshawn Booty.
But we've seen that with Josh McDaniels. His offenses, right, by and large, are not going to center on one receiver.
Right.
They're going to be game plan specific. Right. It's going to be week to week. And, I mean, I would hope the people that cover the team know that. And if you're going to say Diggs hasn't been great, he certainly wasn't great the 3 weeks preceding this game. But does anybody think Diggs doesn't know the offense? Like, of all the things Diggs, he's one of the best route runners in the NFL.
Yeah, like, but was he not great, or was it just the way in which the games played out?
Just like the way the games played out.
I don't necessarily put it on Steph that he had these bad games.
I meant to say not great, that he didn't have great performances in terms of statistics.
His numbers weren't what you saw last night.
Yeah.
But we know in this type of offense, and like, you know, Curtis said, since whether it's been with Brady, whether it's been with Mac Jones, we know Josh McDaniels, Charlie Weiss, Billy O, whoever the offensive coordinator is, and kind of the way this offense has always been built, other than the 07 year, it's always kind of, you know, been wide receiver by committee. Now, there's been guys like Wes Welker and Randy Moss and Julian Edelman, Gronk, but it's always been like, you know, hey, 1 week it'll be one guy, the next week it'll be the next guy, especially when there's not that Gronk, there's not that kind of Randy Moss type of player. So what I look at is just the way the game flows, and last night it started to flow in Steph Diggs' direction, and it flowed in Matt Collins' direction because he had some really big catches.
Yeah, well, we are going to talk a lot about the Patriots today on this Patriots Monday. Mike Vrabel's going to join us a bit later today. He's going to join us at 9 a.m. Mm-hmm. Let him sleep in. I'm sure it was a late flight back from Baltimore last night. We're going to have Boomer at 8 before that. We're also going to get to They Said It. And They Said It this morning, Shime and I were talking before, Aaron Rodgers, peak douchiness after that great win last night for the Steelers. I was watching that before the Patriots game.
We know.
The way in which that thing ended. Like, I don't know if officials need to have a public speaking class, because the officiating at the end of that is one thing, but the way in which the official explained what was going on was the most confusing mind F of all time that.
Yeah, it's the way, you know, and you see it throughout the games all week long with, you know, plays that happened. We talked about, what was it, the 2-point conversion and what the hell game
was that?
Was
the Lions, the Seahawks, Rams.
Yeah, and we, you know, and then even in last night's game on the deep ball to Kayshawn Booty, where the defender basically tackles him.
One of the worst no calls.
Yeah, and
I couldn't believe that.
Yeah, and there's no call at all, but you just kind of see it, you know, and you start to look at it. There's push offs, there's grabbing, there's tugging, there's pulling, and it's one of those things at the end of the games where, you know, it's, I think it was the right call.
It was the right call, but Courtney's right. Take a class. There was one at BC. I think we took the same one. But the public speaking, not exactly the people that they point to. But I'm watching the games as we all do every Sunday, and there was drama. It was great. But this popped into my head. If you're going to do this quick, what is it, expedited review?
Yes.
I don't want the league to bail teams out in under 2 minutes. I feel like it should be punitive. Like, if you don't have timeouts with 2 minutes left in the half or 2 minutes left in the game, the league doesn't jump in and automatically review it. I feel like it should be, you should have three challenges to challenge anything, a call, a flag, a play. Because I watch these games and it's like, it really makes them dip. It's the only part of the NFL experience that is excruciating. And that is the time to make some ruling, the time to go under the hood, and the time for the play-by-play team or the lead official to explain it. Like, it is awful. It has never been worse.
Well, you say the league jump in, but that would be for, like, turnovers, fumbles.
Right. I want it just to be play the game, try and get the call right, and if it's wrong, then do a flat, then challenge it. Like,
but if you don't have no challenges, then none of the 2 minutes, and
then it's your fault.
But if it's so egregious, then
if it's so egregious, then it's on the ref to make the right call.
But I think that there are things that they miss. And so, you know, and generally when you miss certain things, it's, you know, most of those things will be turnovers or did the guy, you know, have 2 feet in bounds and that kind of thing.
Wait, you played in an NFL that didn't even have replay.
No, I know that. And there are a lot of times you're like, you know, we wish we had replay
but the
because
thing is,
they blew that call. It happened so fast. I think that the replay, yes, at times we get frustrated about it. But on the other hand, it's there are calls that are overturned that are made in the right direction because the game is so fast.
If the Patriots lost yesterday, we're all talking about the no-call PI on Booty.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
Right, but
we all accept it.
Right, but the league wouldn't be able to expedite that, though.
No, what I'm saying is that we literally watched a game that was negatively impacted by a bad call, and you couldn't do anything about it.
Right.
So what's the difference between that and an interception?
Well, no, because there's some, that like the league could step in on an interception.
What's the difference?
There's no difference. I guess it becomes, if that's the case, then because you're saying you don't like the fact that the league steps in on expedited calls, but you're saying let the errors of the officials, you know, if you don't have time challenges left, then let it just play out.
The NFL is trying to give off the impression that the games are completely accurate, that no matter what happens, they get it right in the end. And my point is that is something that is impossible to reach. It is a bad goal to have in terms of actually being able to complete it. And they've never been further away from it in my lifetime. The games with all of this are bad. They're poorly officiated. The calls, like the Ravens game a couple weeks ago, there are things that happen right in front of your eyes, and they just make the wrong call. They redefine what a catch is in real time. It's like, I don't know. I just feel like if you added if you put it on the coaches of each team and they have the same amount of challenges, the onus would be on the league to try and get it right the first time, and then you can use them for whatever you want.
Well, the good news is we don't need to complain today because we did get a what, Wiggy? Because your sweatshirt says it.
Victory Monday.
Victory Monday. Wiggy, please show the sweatshirt to those watching on Twitch and YouTube this morning because that came from one Boomer Esiason who will join us at 8 a.m. this morning. Great Under Armour sweatshirt from him. And Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. It's always diamond season at Springer's Jewelers in downtown Portsmouth, New Hampshire. The best selection and pricing in New England. And don't forget, it's tax-free. Their team will help you purchase the right diamond. Visit springersjewelers.com. So a lot to get to today. Like I said, the leads coming up. Then we are going to get to They Said It at 7:30. Boomer at 8. The news after that. Mike Vrabel will join us at 9. And leave us a Hill note this morning. It's most of our last day before break. I think real life Tom's in tomorrow because he's a hard worker. But everybody else off tomorrow?
I am.
Yeah.
I will be in with Jones tomorrow, actually.
Oh, okay, Shime. Humble brag there. Yeah. Are you driving or is Jones?
It's his show, so
okay.
I'm just kind of
Jones and
on.
Shime.
I'll be
I like
Dollar
it.
Store Rich Keefe tomorrow.
Okay, right. I like that a lot.
You're going to hate everything before Christmas.
Ooh, it'll be fun.
But leave us a Hill note. Go on the Odyssey app. Press that little microphone and leave us a note to say Merry Christmas, Happy Holidays as we go on break for a bit. Before we get to trending this morning, though, I would like to open the window world of Boston with Curtis.
Apologies, I was not prepared. Here
oh,
you
no.
go.
Uh-oh.
So right now it is 69 degrees. Oh, I'm sorry. That's Jupiter.
I wish it was.
Oh, that was mean.
Heading.
Really? Yeah. That was not nice.
I wish it was.
That was
definitely
not.
I wish it was.
Look out. Feels like 9 in Boston. Sorry about that.
Yeah, it dropped 60 degrees. That's bad.
Afternoon high will be sunny in the 30s. Tomorrow, a little snow on the way. A couple inches. Nothing crazy, but could have a white Christmas after all. If it snows tomorrow, so looking like 1 to 3 inches in the Boston area, nothing crazy midday tomorrow, but right now and today it will be very chilly downtown, possible snow tomorrow.
All right, I'll take that. I'll take a white Christmas. Shime, let's get to this.
ESPN's Adam Schefter joins WEEI Afternoons every Wednesday at 3:45. Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Patriots are headed to the playoffs, clinching a spot as they take down the Ravens in Sunday Night Football. Coming back from being down 11 early in the fourth, Drake May led the guys with 15 unanswered points for a 28-24 victory. Drake May completed 31 of 44 passes for 380 yards, 2 touchdowns. He did have an interception in the win. And after a week of what's going on with Steph Diggs, what's wrong with him, the foolish talk of is he injured, Diggs had 9 receptions for 138 yards. Now, you can look at Drake's stat line and say, unbelievable game, be able to lead a comeback win. But the beginning, he was a bit shaky. Do you put that on a banged-up O-line, a lot of injuries that the Patriots face, or is that
the O-line, I thought the O-line was fine.
Okay.
I mean, when you look at the offensive line, they did a tremendous job. Guys were, like you said, getting banged banged up and other guys came in and stepped up. I think Drake May had time in the pocket. I think he stepped up and made some plays. I think at times he does what he does is hold on to the football. But I would put some of it on, and, you know, Shime's obviously going to like this, but I would put some of it on some of the play call. Like, it's third and six and you're running a 5-yard hitch route. Like, I don't get, like, some of those calls. Like, okay. You know what I mean? Like, you – and there was a couple times where you're, like – I think it was Wiggins who was the defensive back where
– smart guy.
Yeah.
All over Steph Diggs.
Yeah, because you're running a 5-yard hitch route on third and six. And so there were just some of those. I was like, well, it's a little bit –
my favorite
funky.
Thing is when they get to the red zone and Josh does the pitch and they lose 3 yards.
Yeah, I didn't like that flip play.
It's my all-time favorite play. I also love when Drake May throws a dime and Hunter Henry drops it in the end.
I think that was some of it, Courtney,
okay.
And just some of the decision making. I'd say also I put some of it on Josh, but I'd also put some of the decision making on Drake May and saying, all right, maybe I should look elsewhere rather than trying to fit a ball in to a window that might not be there.
I think Collinsworth also did a really good job in that game talking about, like, when May was rolling to his right for whatever reason, he was like a half second behind the receiver with the pass. So I thought that was very good job by Collins for pointing that out.
Well, Lamar Jackson did exit this game before the half of the back injury. John Harbaugh said that after the game that he has no idea how long Jackson will be out, if at all. It is a Patriots Monday. We'll be joined by Boomer Esiason at 8 a.m. this morning and Mike Vrabel at 9. Other game of note around the league, a wild one in Detroit between the Lions and Steelers. Pittsburgh takes that game 29-24. That is 22 consecutive seasons of over 500 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Bruins fell to the Senators yesterday 6-2 at the TD Garden. Swayman was in goal after the Bees pulled Corpus Salo when it was 5-1 in the second period. He ended with 10 saves in the loss. The Celtics are at the TD Garden tonight. They welcome the Pacers to town. Tip is set for 7:30. Jaylen Brown is listed as questionable in this one. And let me just tell you, Jaylen Brown did something on social media. It's going to be my lead this morning.
All right.
That absolutely just proved why he is
the best. Oh, okay. I don't know what it is you're talking about. I think I might know, but who the hell knows?
The guy's funny. He's relatable. And he doesn't give an F.
And now I wonder if we're thinking the same thing. Is he going to make some money off of this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, he will. Yes, he will. Now, let your love give back during the Subaru of New England Share the Love event. Get a new Subaru during the Share the Love event, and our Subaru retailers will donate $300 to charity. Learn more at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Coming up next, we've got our lead.
Why does every recipe I try need 18 ingredients, including a jar of something paste I'll never use again, but will sit in my fridge for 9 months? I just want dinner in the oven, fast. That's why I love Blue Apron's new one-pan assemble and bake meals. They send you fresh ingredients that are already chopped. All you do is put it all together and bake. That's it. No chopping, no weird leftovers, just delicious, easy-to-make meals. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Come to DSW for the shoes, stay for the fun. Because, let's be honest, if shoe shopping isn't fun, are you even doing it right? So go ahead, try something new. Try something different. Good different. Try something that feels like you. You know, the real you. And then definitely brag about it later. Because at DSW, you've got unlimited freedom to play. Find the shoes that get you at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or at DSW.com. Let us surprise you.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Johnson, 7th-year veteran, former Raven, in the lineup. May taking a deep shot. Downfield, towards Williams. He brought it in. That's a touchdown. That is Kyle Williams, his third of the year. Tremendous over-the-shoulder catch. Game on in Baltimore.
Huge touchdown throw to Kyle Williams last night, which, giving credit to Kyle Williams, because I heard a lot of this after he had his touchdown against Tampa. I didn't do anything on the play. And maybe that's true. I mean, that was a brilliant throw by May. This is another great throw by May. But he has to stay in bounds, reel it in amongst a couple of defenders. I'm not telling you you can put Kyle Williams in a category where you know what you're going to get in the postseason and you could expect him to come through in a big spot. I'm not telling you any of that. That was just a like a found money kind of touchdown. He had another catch earlier on that drive as well. So he was involved on that drive. And it was a huge, huge play to get the Patriots back into it. I asked you this earlier, Mego. Do you think last night was Drake May's MVP moment? Not that it was a signature play. I guess the Kyle Williams one would probably be most representative of that. But the comeback, the national stage, do you think that was Drake May's MVP moment?
I don't think it was as a game. He hurt his team too much in the first half. And with the turnovers, leaving some 6 points conservatively on the board, if they were going to be in field goal range as they were and kick those field goals, I just think as a body of work, it wasn't the right one. It was really important in terms of his individual development. And if you're building an argument for Drake being legit and being spoken of in the same tier as Josh Allen and as Matthew Stafford, that kind of comeback win and the 139 passing yards that he has in that quarter, like, that is what you point to and say, like, yeah, he's not perfect, but he's really gutsy and he's super confident. So he's going to keep you in it. And he's obviously got the talent to keep you in it. But if you're saying, like, most valuable player, I still think Stafford's got the edge overall.
Yeah. And look, it matters what happens as the year goes along. Like, right now, Stafford is minus money for MVP. When I looked earlier, I think May was plus 170, something like that. Stafford was around minus 180, 190. I'll double check here in a moment. But I didn't put a lot of stock in this until we started talking about it over the last couple of weeks. There are very few guys who didn't win their division who go on to win MVP. And Stafford and the Rams have a chance to lose that, whereas I think it's going to be very difficult for the Patriots not to win the division as long as they take care of business against the Jets and Brady Cook and the Dolphins and Quinn Ewers.
Oh, boy.
I think, and I was doing quick research on this, I think the last guy not to win his division to win MVP was Peyton Manning, I think, in 08.
Oh, my God.
Something like that. We were going through it quickly last week. So if Stafford falls off at all, and now he's a wild card, I don't know why that matters so much. It wouldn't matter to me. Like, the Rams are going to win 12 or 13 games. I don't really care if they're a wild card team or not. It's not like you're winning your division at 9-8 and you barely sneak in. The Rams have been a dominant team all year. That wouldn't matter to me, but it might to voters. That might be the one way he can get back in there and still get
it.
Yeah,
I wonder how predictive that is. Like, that seems like it would be indicative of just teams that have really strong quarterback play tend to dominate their divisions, right? And tend to roll over. And especially when you have some repeat MVPs like Lamar, like Mahomes, like, I bet that plays into a little bit where the same guys have been dominating for the last decade or so. But going back to 2008, that is a really long time.
It was something like that. I'd have to double check exactly when it was, but it was Peyton Manning was the last one to do it. And by the way, Stafford on FanDuel minus 195 for MVP. Drake's at plus 170. I'm surprised Josh Allen's at plus 2,500. Allen was starting to close the gap last week. The Bills did not look good yesterday.
Yeah, that's just based on yesterday.
They barely held off the Cleveland Browns, and it's not like Allen played great in that game. James Cook was kind of carrying the offense, so maybe that's part of it. But right now it seems like a two-horse race, and May is in second, but that doesn't mean he can't get
it. Did you think it was the body of work, like that game, to say that's an MVP game?
I mean, he had some turnovers early. I do feel like
bad turnovers. I mean, the interception wasn't even as bad as the fumble.
No, the fumble was worse. And you're right. When you say conservatively you're taking 6 points off the board, it might have been more. I would just put more weight on the fourth quarter. I think all that outweighs it. But, you know, Matt Stafford and the stats have been just dominant, like, overwhelming. Like, if you put the two of their numbers up against each other,
passing yards and touchdowns and things like this. They're really not close. May's been more accurate. You know, May's had a lot of good quarterback rating games and high quarterback rating this year. But when you line up yards and touchdowns and things like that, it's not close. But then you can say Stafford has way more going for him with Puka and before he got hurt, Davante Adams, never mind the play calling and Sean McVay. So, I think all of that's fair. I wouldn't bet on Drake May winning right now. It seems like the betting markets have consolidated behind Matt Stafford. But, no, I think that was a big win for him last night to stay in the mix. And if Stafford has another game where he stubs his toe or the Rams don't win the division, I think that's how May would get the MVP.
To me, it's also just going to be a narrative thing. Hey, Drake is new. They've given this award to young quarterbacks recently, but he's going to be around for a little bit. Matthew Stafford, he was like questionable in terms of his injury going into the season, has had this kind of magical season for the most part for himself. He'll probably retire soon. He wasted away in Detroit for so long. Let's give him another MVP so that it's undeniable how great of a quarterback he's really been all along.
I think that's probably, I mean, narratives with these are pretty significant, and the narrative favors Stafford for sure. Here's Drake May, by the way, and you heard this a couple of times on the broadcast. You could hear MVP chants coming through pretty clear at Baltimore for Drake May. Here's his reaction to those chants.
Yeah, it felt like, I credit to the Baltimore for, great home environment, but, it felt like, a lot of Pats fans were in the stadium. Props to us, we travel great. I say that time and time again, we travel great, and, we're giving them something to travel for, and that's what we try to do, and they're huge for us, and I'm sitting on the sideline when the defense is up, and, we make a play, and we hear loud cheers, and you're not sure if it's offense or defense, so it's New England Patriots. It's New England area. It's the Boston sports. So I don't expect anything less from our fans, and they show out every week.
Okay. A lot of fans behind Drake May for the MVP last night. I mean, it was a monstrous, monstrous fourth quarter and execution when he had to come through in a big spot. I do think that helps big picture for how far this team can go. Again, that belief, we were talking about that earlier. You either have it or you don't in your quarterback. The Pats had it for two decades with Brady. We'll see if they can get anywhere approaching that with Drake May, but I do think a win like last night has me wondering how far they can go again. Whereas when they were down 11 and Derrick Henry was running wild and it felt like they were going to just die on the vine and lose two in a row in these back-to-back games that everybody had highlighted for a long period of time, I was starting to wonder about that. Now I'm back to, well, they have a good chance at the one seed. If they get that, they really could go on a deep run. The road goes through Foxborough. And even if not, I have myself believing and talking back into how far they can go. How far do you think this team can take it?
I still say AFC Championship. Like that's kind of where I've been for the last couple weeks. My confidence wavered a little bit with that second half against Buffalo, but I think this fourth quarter makes up for it. And what was most important to me about the fourth quarter is that it's stuff that is replicable. In past wins that you've had where it was in the clutch, like with Miami earlier this year, it was an Antonio Gibson run for a touchdown, which is great. But it felt fluky. Like, this didn't feel as fluky. Yeah, you get one with a play by Kalavon Chasen, with the strip fumble of Zay Flowers. Like, that definitely helps you. But that's a great play by Kalavon Chasen. Like, it's not like it's just like, oh, something happened to bounce your way. So I maintain AFC Championship. Once you're there, I kind of think it's like anything can happen. The AFC is so wide open, though. I think you can realistically get to that point.
What is and look, our expectations change all the time. My offseason goal for this team was get to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. I thought they'd win 9 games and sneak in. So they're already way past that, right? But now it's time to adjust the expectations upwards. What do they have to do to make it a successful year? Is it get to that AFC title game? What is that line to make it a successful year?
For me personally, I'd say AFC title game. And it's because I kind of put them up against my beloved and mightily fallen Commanders. And good Commanders.
They got to match what they did a year ago.
Yeah, pretty much. Oh, yeah, I mean, fair. Look, like that the Commanders were able to rip that off. The NFC, in my opinion, is much stronger than the AFC this year. I think they had to be opportunistic and prove that they can get through a road, especially if the road goes through Foxborough, then definitely.
Yeah, so I
although they are, I mean, they're road warriors. That's what they call themselves. They're unbeaten on the road, more beaten at Gillette, but it still gives you an advantage.
So I guess I'd say it a little differently. If they're the one seed, then we're in the same spot. You got to win a game in the playoffs now to make it a successful run. You have to. And again, oh, well, what if I told you in July they'd win?
Shut up. That was July.
They'd win 14 games and they'd lose at home on the divisional round. Would you have taken it? Like, of course we all would have taken it. But now they might be the one seed. I'm not going to be okay if they lose their first playoff game at home in the divisional round of the Texans or something like that. I'm not saying I can't see that happening, but I wouldn't be okay with that. That would be disappointing. That would be a bad loss. It doesn't make the year a failure, but to make this now a success, they at least have to win a playoff game. And I agree with you. You know, yesterday wasn't just about things not going their way or getting a lucky bounce, rather. It was actually the opposite. They were able to overcome a bad call going against them or a non-call against them.
They took control of the game. Like they did, sorry to cut you off there a little bit, but they absolutely just took over the game. And that's something where you see them do that early in games this season. You see them fade or cool off late, and they kind of let, okay, we're going to make one big play at the end, or our defense is going to have a stop at the end to make sure that these stupid frisky teams like the Jets with Justin Fields or the Bengals without Joe Burrow, they hang around a little bit in the fourth quarter, but they're not actually really going to do anything. And so to see them do that against, yeah, it's not a great Ravens team, but a Ravens team with some really legit pieces on it, I think that says something.
Well, and again, they dominated the fourth quarter, and then they had a bang-bang call go against them, and I think bad teams tucked their tail there, and bad teams just quit. And the Patriots didn't do that. They marched right down the field and got in the end zone and took the lead and took control of the game. And I think that is a telling thing about a team that's going places. But you got to win a playoff game. If you're playing on wild card weekend, win your game at home. If you're the one seed, win your game at home on divisional weekend, and then I'll look at it and say that feels like a pretty successful year based on how they played all year long. 617-779-7937. More of your feedback coming up. We'll get to Steph Diggs and his impact. Primetime Steph feels like a real thing. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This holiday season, choose gifts that feel thoughtful and practical with Omaha Steaks. Whether you're hosting or gifting, they deliver the world's best steak experience, and it makes you look like you planned way ahead. They've got USDA-certified tender steaks, juicy burgers, comfort meals, and tons more. Gifting Omaha Steaks is honestly one of the easiest wins. Everything arrives beautifully packaged, super convenient, and the quality is unbelievable. Their filet mignons are some of the most tender I've ever had. And the variety means you can personalize every gift. Plus, orders placed by 6 p.m. Eastern ship same day. And everything is backed by their 100% guarantee. It's holiday gifting made simple. Save big on gourmet gifts and more holiday favorites with Omaha Steaks. Visit omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their Sizzle All the Way sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code T-Bone at checkout. Terms apply. See site for details. That's omahasteaks.com, code T-Bone.
TikTok for Business is helping owners like you reach new customers every day.
We saw up to a 10x return on our TikTok shop ads. A few years ago, I started sharing my love for fashion on social media, and Willow Boutique was born. We're not just a place to shop. We've really become a community. TikTok allows us to find more people to have that great experience. I cannot imagine my business without TikTok. It's completely changed my life, and I could not be happier.
Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
There's nothing like gaining a fresh perspective from experts who've seen it all and have the wisdom to prove it. With Masterclass, you can learn from the best to become your best. With plans starting at $10 a month, billed annually, you get unlimited access to over 200 plus classes taught by the world's best business leaders, writers, chefs, and more. With MasterClass, you get thousands of bite-sized lessons across 13 categories that can fit into even the busiest of schedules. And the classes really make a difference. 3 in 4 surveyed members feel inspired every time they watch MasterClass. And 83% of surveyed members have applied something they've learned from MasterClass to their lives. MasterClass always has great offers during the holidays, sometimes up to as much as 50% off. Head over to masterclass.com/audio for the current offer. That's up to 50% off at masterclass.com/audio. masterclass.com/audio.